Hello, everyone. Welcome back to CNN 10. I'm Allison Chinchar in for Coy Wire. If you were on spring break like we were, I hope it was fun. Hope you wore your sunscreen and hope you're feeling ready to rock a fresh new week. Now let's get to your news for this Monday, April 13th. NASA and the rest of the world are welcoming the Artemis II crew back to Earth. The four astronauts received a standing ovation when they arrived at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas, Saturday. They also reunited with their families after their 10-day journey around the moon. The Orion capsule splashdown in the Pacific Ocean on Friday capped the successful mission. Speaking publicly for the first time since their return to Earth, the crew members described the camaraderie they shared on their journey to deep space.
We are bonded forever, and no one down here is ever going to know what the four of us just went through.
When this started on April 3rd, I wanted to thank God in public, and I want to thank God again.
What struck me wasn't necessarily just Earth. It was all the blackness around it. Earth was just this lifeboat hanging undisturbingly in the universe.
When you look up here, you're not looking at us. We are a mirror reflecting you. And if you like what you see, then just look a little deeper. This is you.
These four history makers also broke several world records. They traveled farther from Earth than any humans ever before. They witnessed the far side of the moon. They even saw a solar eclipse from behind the moon. Our Pete Muntean has more on the successful return and what comes next.
We heard from NASA officials who said that the Artemis II mission concluded with incredible accuracy, a successful splashdown off the coast of San Diego at 5:07 and 27 seconds Pacific time, thus concluding a 9-day, 1-hour mission, an orbit around the moon. Astronauts Wiseman, Glover, Hansen, and Cook were all plucked from the Orion capsule one by one by Navy divers, then hoisted by helicopters and flown to the deck of the USS John P. Murtha, where we were seeing them walk unassisted on the flight deck. This concludes the most dangerous part of this mission. The reentry was surrounded by questions about whether or not the heat shield and tweaks that NASA made to the reentry angle would work leading up to this reentry. There was concern that the heat shield that was seen on Artemis 1 would have problems again in this crewed mission. Artemis 1 was an uncrewed mission. Now NASA engineers will go over the heat shield of the Orion spacecraft as it's hauled on board the USS John P. Murtha. NASA says this is all about the folks behind the scenes, like those at Johnson Space Flight Center in Houston, which broke out into a celebration after the 6-minute-long communications blackout ended during reentry. Some pretty big questions here, but NASA says now they are focused on landing on the moon. This massive test flight paves the way for the Artemis 3 missions in 2027 and then the Artemis 4 mission in 2028 with the goal of putting Americans on the moon again.
Now to an update on U.S. and Israel's ongoing war in Iran and the outsized impact it's having on the global energy market. The ongoing conflict has been felt around the world and is causing chaos as far away as Ireland. Roughly one-third of the country's gas stations have run out of fuel, and key roadways have been blocked as part of protests over rising fuel costs. Our Neve Kennedy has more on what's driving the surreal scenes.
This man appears to be walking to the airport as tractors block roads across Ireland. Farmers and hauliers across Ireland have been protesting for 4 days over soaring fuel costs. Convoys of tractors have clogged major roads across the country, from inner-city Dublin to fuel depots that supply much of the country. And it's caused chaos. At least 250 service stations had completely run out of fuel on Friday, an industry body told CNN. Now, the government has even asked the army to be on standby to help clear blocked roads amid concerns that emergency services could be delayed. Protesters say rising diesel prices are pushing them to the brink and that government measures to cut fuel costs haven't gone far enough. The price hikes are tied in part to the war in Iran, which has disrupted oil supplies.
Time for 10-second trivia. What is a group of penguins called on land? Is it a herd, a flock, a colony, or a troop? Now, if you said colony, happy feet. Once they're swimming together, the penguins are often called a raft because they often float and move as a group on the water's surface. Climate change is pushing two iconic species closer to extinction. Emperor penguins for one, and Antarctic fur seals are now both listed as endangered by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. The animals were added to the group's Red List, the world's most comprehensive census of threatened species, and their causes of their decline. Factors like warming ocean waters, melting sea ice, and declining food availability are wreaking havoc on their ecosystem and leading wildlife experts to sound the alarm.
They need that ice. Yes, they swim and they hunt in the cold waters of Antarctica, but they need that ice to nest, to raise their offspring, to breed, to sleep. And what a loss it would be to our natural heritage to lose these species. The same for these, the Cape Fur seal. They're integral to the ecosystem in the cold waters of the South. And the krill that they depend upon, this is the food that they eat, is going deeper and deeper and literally is beyond their reach. For a creature that is designed to survive in the wild of a watery ecosystem.
The IUCN report says fur seal populations have shrunk by more than 50% since just 1999, and they fear emperor penguin populations could be cut in half by the year 2080. This weekend marked a key date in Christianity. Sunday was Orthodox Easter. Now, Orthodox Christians in parts of Eastern Europe and Asia celebrate Easter Sunday later than their Western counterparts due to their use of the older Julian calendar. And in Jerusalem, a remarkable event ushered in the Holy Holiday. A single flame was shared by hundreds of worshipers as they celebrated at one of the faith's holiest sites. Our Oren Lieberman attended the Holy Fire Ceremony at Jerusalem's Church of the Holy Sepulchre for an up-close look at the ancient tradition.
This is Holy Fire Saturday here inside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and it's one of the most beautiful ceremonies in the Old City of Jerusalem. It comes one day before Orthodox Easter. Church leaders will enter the tomb of Jesus Christ right here behind me, and they will come out with a flame. Fire that's supposed to be lit by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That single flame, as it comes out, is then spread around, as you can see here behind me, to worshipers who have been waiting all morning, chanting, saying prayers here inside the church, and then they spread it throughout, not only inside the church here, but the hundreds, if not thousands, who are waiting outside. This is a religious ceremony that has happened for 1,000 years here in Jerusalem, and it is one of the most remarkable to see.
More than 300 items from Queen Elizabeth II's wardrobe are now on display in Buckingham Palace to mark 100 years since her birth. Queen Elizabeth II, her life and style, showcases fashion from nearly a century of her royal life, including dresses, tiaras, and even her wedding necklace. More than half of the items have never been exhibited before. The curator says the exhibition explores every decade of the Queen's life, from birth until her death. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. A 6-year-old in Pittsburgh is using her love for coloring to show love for kids who are battling cancer. Here's the story. Kaylin Lundell heard an ad on the radio about St. Jude Children's Hospital, and it stuck with her. Reminder, she's only 6 years old. She says it isn't fair that some kids have to face so much pain, and she wanted to do something about it. So Kaylin and her mom launched Draw for a Dream, and they've organized art auctions where kids' creations are what's for sale and going to the highest bidders. Bids will start at $100, with every dollar going to St. Jude's.
I just don't want their life to be hard for them. It's not fair for them.
Kaylin aims to raise $100,000 at the end of this and is hoping her campaign can make a difference in the lives of families in need. All right, superstars, I've got two shout-outs for you today. First up, Mr. Galloway and Mr. Malachi at Scott Highlands Middle School in Apple Valley, Minnesota. Thank you so much for including us in your classroom. And we also have a shout out from Ms. Solomon at Sheldon High School in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you so much for subscribing to our YouTube channel. And thank you for joining me today. Koi will be back tomorrow. I'm Allison Chinchar, and this is CNN 10.